live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And glad you could hang around for another hour of this edition of Sports Byline. I want to talk a little bit about Steve Kerr because I sit here in San Francisco, so I get a up-close and personal view of how he runs the Golden State Warriors, that organization, how he coaches the team, the success of the team. And I think anybody who's ever had back problems can certainly think about what he is going through, and I feel so bad for him. You know, most people, you don't have a connection with them, and I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about anybody who comes in contact with Steve Kerr because he's such a class guy. And so, therefore, I think you feel what he's going through a little bit more. As you probably know, he is not going to be able to coach in game number 4 of the Golden State Warriors series with the Portland Trailblazers, and it's highly questionable whether he'll be able to coach at any point in the playoffs in the NBA. This is a very serious situation. It's something that he's had to deal with, and it's one thing to have back pain. It's another thing to have migraine headaches and other problems associated with it as well. If you don't know the story there, he had back surgery, and apparently they botched the surgery, and they nicked his spinal column, and fluid has been leaking, and that's why he had to, after he had taken over the Warriors, had to give up the reins to Luke Walton for about half the season. Very successful season, I might point out. And so now he pulled himself off the bench. He was in trouble in game number 2. He was really not feeling well. There's a rule, which I did not know, in the NBA that coaches cannot take off their jackets on the bench, but he had to take off his jacket. And so he's going to be out. So, again, I want to send my very best. I've had a wife that has had back problems, and I think probably many of you around the country and around the world have had, or at least known or even had, these sort of problems as well. And we send our very best to him. We're going to kick things off this hour talking with Marcus Thompson. He is a sports columnist for the San Jose Mercury News and East Bay Times. He was the beat writer for the Golden State Warriors for some 10 seasons. And he has written a very interesting book that's getting a lot of reaction because there's some talk about race in this book. It's called Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. And then right after that, Paul Dixon will be here. Paul also has an interesting book out. I love this book, by the way. Leo Durocher, Baseball's Prodigal Son. So we're ready to crank it up. And when we come back, Marcus Thompson joins us and you on Sports Byline.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Marcus Thompson joins us on Sports Byline. Fine sports columnist for the San Jose Mercury News and East Bay Times, and he was the beat writer for the Golden State Warriors for 10 seasons. And he's written an interesting book that's getting a lot of reaction. It's called Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. Marcus, you certainly are familiar with the subject, but what beyond Steph Curry, the player, motivated you to write this book?
So the intellectual answer would be the human side of his story, the adversity he overcame, and the inspiration he is to nine-year-olds across the land. But the real reason is somebody wanted to pay me. They said, hey, man, we want you to write this book, and you're the one. I said, hey, is there money involved? Yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
Boy, what an honest journalist you are. What is it about Steph Curry, beyond what most people know, that they don't know?
That he's a dichotomy of sorts, right? You know, Steph is this ultra nice guy. Everybody talks about his humility, but there is another side to him that's, you know, he's got that Kobe Bryant, that Michael Jordan kind of drive. He's really got a chip on his shoulder, and he's on a mission for domination. When you juxtapose his two personalities, they're really stark in how they contrast each other. Super nice guy off the court. On the court, he's really trying to destroy you. And that balance has kind of created this perfect storm of a superstar.
Yeah, the difference between Kobe and Michael Jordan is the fact that the personality, the way they present it on the court, is totally different. You know, I mean, those guys were serious, and they would give you a look, a death stare, that sort of thing. You really don't get that too much from Steph.
No, he doesn't wear that on his sleeve. You see the joy, you see the smiling, you see the dancing. Like, he doesn't purport himself to be menacing. But over his career, I mean, and way back to middle school, there's been this perception about him, or this ceiling placed on him. And he's gotten so used to breaking it that he's created this. He likes the baby face assassin moniker. He really is a guy that is driven like you've never seen. You don't see nice guys like this, like who's got this bent on really taking you down.
Well, the thing is that he lets it do it with his results more than anything else. I mean, some guys will get into your face after they make a basket. That is not Steph Curry. All it does is quietly motivate him from the inside to go down and hit another key basket that buries the opponent.
Absolutely. He's more likely to dance with his teammates than get in someone else's face. I think one of the things that separates him is he has a perspective about it. So in the confines of the game, he wants to destroy you. But then the person he is really does appreciate, like, the battle and the competition and his opponent. And there's, like, this greater-than-the-basketball element to his game, whereas others who are like this, they don't know how to turn it off, right? It's a consuming thing. Steph is like, let's go at each other, let's try to take each other out, and then at the end, he's like, I appreciate you, I respect you. We had a great time. What a life we get to live.
Yeah, you know, there's always that perception and reality And in the case of Steph, I find it very interesting that a lot of people are judging him, and I'm not sure why they are unless it's just a fact of life.
You know, it's tough to overlook. I mean, his star power did happen really, really fast, right? It was really sudden. It was in the grand scheme of things, it was out of nowhere. I know if you've been a Warriors fan, you've seen them kind of grow. But usually when you get to Steph's level, we kind of saw you coming when you were 16 years old. But especially the way media works and how we watch high school and AAU ball, you know who the prodigies are a long time ago. So we've seen LeBron was 15 years old. Steph, for the most part, from a national, even international perspective, he really just showed up in 2015, right? He just came onto the scene, and there was this massive explosion. And obviously with that, you can probably expect it to be so jarring that some people won't like it.
You know, one of the reactions I introduced you as saying getting a lot of reaction with this book is a racial reaction. And I was surprised to read and hear about what you've written about that. Can you explain that a little bit further?
There's a colorism dynamic like within the African American community that's probably been going on forever. I remember when I was a young kid, the lighter skinned guys would always get the girls. Right, it was just there's always been that kind of like civil war, so to speak, not actual like violence or anything, but some perceptions, some privileges that extend to black people with lighter skin. I think Steph has found himself in the middle of that war, in the sense that stereotypically lighter skinned blacks aren't as tough. You know, if you come from privilege, you aren't as hardened, you know, as, you know, you don't get that inherent credibility that comes with being raised in poverty. And so he kind of gets that. So when they look at him, they see, oh, he's soft. He's not that tough. We could take him. And out of that, he also gets some privileges because, hey, he's only being accepted because of how he's looked. He's only getting this mass appeal because of how he looks. And if he looked like me, he probably wouldn't be as readily embraced. So there's a lot of like cultural dynamics that's being played in here. And it was one of the actual revelations of doing this book, is just realizing how many people, like, underneath the surface, they kind of have a problem with this Steph Curry rise. And digging into why, what I thought was probably the best parts of the chat of the book.
And what did you find out? I think LeBron's name was brought up in reference to this area as well. What about the rest of the NBA? I mean, I would think that NBA players would be prejudiced based simply on the performance of the player you're talking about.
Startling just how it's not that. I would think that there's so few NBA players, like, in the world. The percentage of players in the world who are professional basketball players is very small. There's only, what, 450 players in the league, that they would have this fraternity that kind of supersedes all of that. So one person's success would be good for everybody. You would think that ideally that's how it would be, but I think part of the problem is there were a lot of people who just had a vision of how their career would go and how it would take off, and some of the things that they needed to be in order to excel. And out of nowhere, this kid came and just snatched it, right? That's just the bottom line. Fame is a scarcity. Endorsement deals are a scarcity. So there's a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of resentment, a little bit of why him and not me, or I don't think he's as good as me, so he shouldn't get that. I think LeBron's situation is a little unique. I think Steph Curry represents people saying LeBron is off the top. You know, mm-hmm. Hey, Steph Curry is now the new best player in the game. Steph Curry is now the new face of the league. That was the kind of narrative, which meant LeBron wasn't. So I think that a little personal, and he had an agenda to knock Steph Curry off the top. So there are various reasons. People just don't think Steph has had a hard road. Some people think he didn't come from nothing like them, and he didn't have a broken home. He had a great family. He had all of the advantages. So, you know, and they conversely didn't have that. So maybe there's some issues with that. There's just a lot of socioeconomic developments behind the scenes.
I'm going to steal one of your words, the dichotomy, and I think about that in reference to the NBA. They've got to be tickled to have somebody like Steph, who's an African-American, and have the pure kind of image that he has in light of the fact of the brawl up in Detroit and of the fact that they had to put a clothing rule in for players when they were sitting on the bench, and probably the general impression of fans that, you know, there were a lot of thugs in the NBA. So they've got to be very happy with a Steph Curry. Am I correct about that, Marcus?
No question. I think that actually helped fuel the problem. I mean, the NBA was so ready to embrace Steph Curry and exalt him as the face of the league. It almost came off as, finally, we got somebody, right? That's kind of the impetus that you got from it, is all of a sudden he's on every commercial. All of a sudden his jersey is number one. And he almost was put out there as, you know, having qualities that the others didn't have. And a lot of it is perception. And he did have to overcome the malice in the palace and, you know, the quote-unquote thug kind of appeal of the NBA, especially, you know, with the Allen Iverson era when hip-hop and the NBA became intrinsically linked. So Steph Curry, who doesn't – you won't find him in police blotters. You won't find him in on TMZ. He keeps his nose clean. He's got a family. He's a family man. They love that. The Warriors love it, and he kind of paid the price because of that.
We've got Marcus Thompson with us. I want you to check out this book because you're going to find it very insightful and great reading. It's called Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit more about his role in bringing Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors as we continue on Sports Byline.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. Offer details, license terms, and conditions available at secureathome.com.
The sun can make your outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable you can't use it. But now there's the Sunsetter Retractable Awning. A Sunsetter Retractable Awning opens and closes in just 60 seconds, and it keeps your patio about 20 degrees cooler. It provides instant shade and protection from the sun's harmful rays. You can get your Sunsetter for as little as $5.99 when you call now to get your special $200 discount certificate and free awning idea kit. You're going to love your Sunsetter Retractable Awning. Sunsetter awnings are assembled in America and guaranteed to last. So call 800-692-0268 now to get a free awning idea kit with DVD, plus your $200 Sunsetter discount certificate. This is a limited time offer, so call 800-692-0268. That's 800-692-0268 for your free awning idea kit with DVD and $200 discount certificate. There's no obligation, so call 800-692-0268 now.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Marcus Thompson has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. We're going to make his book, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, a selection on the Sports Byline Book Corner, so I hope that you'll check it out. His mother is probably the most athletic person in the family. Is that a fair statement to say?
Yes, it is. That was surprising to me to learn that. You know, I'm telling you, I was all ready to write the heartwarming father-son angle about, you know, Dell is an NBA player, his dad, and they're both shooters. But really what I found was this mother story, and I totally know how you know, integral Sonya was to not just, like, raising him. Obviously, she's his mom, but just the elements and intangibles and characteristics and then Steph that makes him great actually come from his mom, including his athleticism.
Yeah, I know. She was a volleyball player, was she not?
Oh, yeah. She was a really good volleyball player. She was one of the founding players of the Virginia Tech volleyball program back in the 80s. So, yeah, she's definitely that, – that's her thing is volleyball. And even Steph played volleyball, playing volleyball now.
And I also know that religion has been a very important part. Is that one of the ways they've been able to keep balance in that family? Because if you look at Seth and you look at Steph and you look at the other kids in the family and the parents and everything, there seems to be something that doesn't reflect what you generally think of a highly skilled, athletic, rich family.
You know, Steph Curry's faith it's like the epicenter of all of this. He likes to think of it as, like, his basketball and all that is his ministry to the world. It's the way he serves the world, in a sense. But all of that comes from someone who had him in church and Bible school. And I think out of all of the kids, Steph definitely took to it. So what began as his, like, mother's faith and him kind of leaning on that grew into his own. Now, you know, like, he's got his favorite scripture on one shoe, his mom's favorite scripture on the other shoe. But a lot of the, like, off-the-court stuff he does, a lot of the charity work, and most importantly, making sure his image is reflective, a lot of that is a part of how he wants to carry out his faith, and that all stems from Sonya. Well, not all of it, but 99% with Sonya. If Steph gets caught cursing on TV, there's going to be a call on his phone, yeah. And it's going to be his mom.
Probably going to be from his daughter, too.
right?
I have to ask you, balance is such an important part in a highly skilled star athlete. And I think about Michael Jordan in a conversation I had with Michael one time, and I said, you know, everybody wants a part of you. You're with Nike and everything. Yet you've got to go out there on the floor, and you've got to perform. You've got to be able to focus and everything. How hard is that? And he acknowledged to me, Marcus, that it's very, very hard. How is he going to keep that balance? Because he's doing so many endorsements and so many other things. I mean, he's a guy that cares about people, so he wants to do the right thing and do everything that he can. But you know, as you get a little bit older in this profession, you hurt a little bit more. You don't have the time to focus, and yet it's as important to him to be a nice person as it is to be a successful basketball player.
You know, I think he struggled with this initially when they won a championship, and all of a sudden he was just in this high demand. And I think initially, because it was new and it was sudden, Steph was of the mind of, yeah, let's do it all, right? I want to go on every talk show. I'll do every interview. I'll hang out with every celebrity request. And I think he had to learn, nah, I need to stop, right? So he's kind of developed an ability to say no. He's got people around him who will definitely say no, the chief one being Aisha. And I think he did have to learn it, and I think he still kind of struggles with it because you're right. He wants to be out there and be known as the one being kind to people, but he also, like, needs to be at home. He still takes his daughter to school in the morning. He still, you know, he makes sure he schedules stuff for when he's on the road, so when he's at home, he can actually be at home. He's had to kind of find that balance, which is so tough to do when calls and it's like, hey, let's hang. It's like, what do? Do I say no to Drake? I think he's had to learn how to manage that.
Hmm. You know, what's funny to me is that I think most people's impression of women who are married to NBA basketball players is NBA Wives, the reality show.
Unfortunately, right?
Yeah, exactly. But when you talk about Aisha, she has her own identity. She has her own personality. And this is kind of the dichotomy again as well. Tell me a little bit about that family dynamic between them.
So Steph, in this way, he's like a regular guy, right? It's so funny how he likes it too, how he's the guy who's like, oh, I'm in trouble. I didn't take out the trash, right? He becomes the typical male caricature. And I think he likes that from Aisha because she is the one who doesn't treat him like a star. And I think he knows he needs that. He relies on her for that. And it's been that way since Davidson because what he's going through can really stroke the ego of anybody. So Aisha is the one who helps him balance it, who keeps him, who reminds him of what matters to him, who keeps the pressure on, in a sense, for him to do the right thing and remember. She doesn't let him off the hook in that way. And he also, in turn, invests a lot into building her career. So he didn't say, hey, this is all about me. I'm the NBA player, and everything else kind of fits around that. After they lost the championship, in a historic fashion, he then turned his attention to her book tour and helped her become a New York Times bestseller. So the way they operate is a lot like how the traditional family operates, or how many families who are working now trying to figure out how to get the best out of both and how to complement each other. They just happen to do it inside of an NBA world.
Another question that you can certainly relate to because you're African American, and I found this in my years of interviewing athletes, particularly African Americans, I will invariably ask them about their mothers. And it's because of the strength of the black woman in the family. And most people probably don't have an appreciation or an understanding of it. Can you help me understand it, particularly in this particular case?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because in the black community, the struggle has been keeping the family together, especially dating back to the late 70s, early 80s. The broken homes have started with the father. And, I mean, we all know the father has been largely absent for a long time, or at least reputed as such. And it was the mother's hope down the fort. It was the grandmother's. And that has become kind of almost the safe grace of the community is the mom with the multiple kids. And even when the father was there, he still was out and had to work. It's typically the mom and the grandmother. That's how it was in the 80s and the 90s, the mom and the grandmother. And I think Steph, even though she's much more reputed for her looks, right, because when she's on TV, people see her, oh, she's beautiful, but she kind of continues on in that mode of her husband was a basketball player out traveling the land, and here she was holding down the fort with three kids. That there's a lot of African-American people who grew up who know this story of the single mom or the manifold, the mom with manifold talents and duties and abilities, or the grandmother who held everything together when everything was falling apart.
We got about 90 seconds left, and maybe you can just address the fact that he was very instrumental with Kevin Durant coming, giving up, being the star of the team and willing to share and everything. I don't know that I've seen anything like that in my career.
It's crazy, right? When you think about it, like it's really crazy. Two people at the peak of their powers, and Steph says, yeah, please come. Like, I welcome you. Let's dominate together. I really do think in 20 years we will look at this as a major thing.
Yep.
We will look at it as something like, wow, credible. Because Magic wasn't inviting Larry Bird, right? It just wasn't happening. But it really is a testament to his leadership style. He's unselfish and he's humble, and if anybody could do it, it definitely is Steph Curry.
In about 45 seconds, what do you want people to take away from the book, Marcus?
You know, that I really want people to understand that Steph's rise was a traditional and inspiring story of overcoming adversity. And I really like exposing the human elements of these superstars, because we don't often look at them as people. Here's a good person who has avoided scandal, avoided drama, avoided all that stuff, and I think stories like that should be told.
I agree with you. Congratulations on this book. I'm looking forward to reading it from cover to cover, but I know your work, so I'm not surprised that it's gotten the great reaction that it's gotten, Marcus. And you're welcome here anytime. Since we're both here in the San Francisco Bay Area, I hope you'll drop by and spend some time in the studio with me sometime.
That's what I need to do. I need to come in and hang out, put my feet up, drink some coffee, and let's talk.
You got it. The door is open and the seat is right here, so come in and see me sometime. Take care, Marcus.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Again, Marcus Thompson, sports columnist for the San Jose Mercury News and East Bay Times. He was the beat writer for the Golden State Warriors for 10 seasons, and he's written a very interesting book, and as I said, getting a lot of reaction. And the title of it, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. And I sit here in the San Francisco Bay Area and get a up-close look at Steph. I'm just amazed at who he is as a player and a person. We've got you on Sports Byline.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the annual buy one, get one free sale at Ace, where you'll find amazing BOGOs throughout the entire store. Buy Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, get Scott's Lawn Food free. Buy a Roundup Pump and Go 1.33 gallon, get a Roundup Refill free. Buy Ace 20-pound Sunflower Seed, get 20-pound Wild Bird Feed free. Hurry in now to save big on these and many more buy one, get one free offers throughout the store. Sale ends Sunday. Offers valid at participating stores. Scott's products cover 5,000 square feet. See store for details.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Hey there! Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year. Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale, with 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from just $1.19. Bamboo from $1.39. Get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents. Limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents and more. Plus, special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Paul Dixon joins us on Sports Byline. Paul is the author of more than 40 books, including Bill Veeck, Baseball's Greatest Maverick, and his latest book is along the same lines. It's called Leo Durocher, Baseball's Prodigal Son. Paul, am I correct in saying there are similarities in the image of both Durocher and Veeck? I mean, they both walk to the beat of their own drum.
Yeah, and they both push the envelope. I mean, one is much more likable than the other. And, you know, if I was seated on a plane next to Bill Veeck, he came back to life, I'd be delighted. I think if I ended up on a plane sitting in first class with Leo Durocher, I'd ask the flight attendant to put me in coach. I mean, I think that's the difference. But they both are guys who defined sort of the 20th century in baseball, but also in American celebrity. I mean, they both went beyond baseball or beyond sports to become big time, you know, national celebrities.
For those people, and again, if you're older, you certainly know the name Leo Durocher, but we have a lot of young listeners as well. Why don't you bring them up to date as to who he was, Leo?
Leo Durocher was a great player. He played his first game in 1925 as a player, last game in 1945, and then became a manager in 1939. But all the way through finally went to the Houston Astros after going to the Brooklyn Dodgers, the New York Giants, who both teams moved west later. Then was a very controversial manager of the Chicago Cubs in that famous 1969 season where the Cubs were sort of drowned by the New York Mets that just, you know, caught fire. And to a lot of people, or to me at least, he sort of defined baseball in the 20th century. He went from the time of Prohibition in 1925, where he ends up in New York, you know, speakeasies and gambling and all that, and all the way through to the Houston, you know, post-Apollo moon landing, and in Chicago during the 68 convention. So he was also very, very tied to show business. So his best friend for most of his life was Frank Sinatra. When he was with the Cubs, he would take calls from, you know, the Rat Pack guys would call him. Dean Martin would call him in the dugout while he was managing the team. So he was a big footprint in 20th century. Great ball player, defensively, not offensively, but was in many ways a genius manager. And he was there for, you know, bringing up Jackie Robinson. He was the manager that brought him up. And so he touches a lot of bases in terms of, the, you know, the milestones of the 20th century in baseball.
He was also notorious for getting into brawls on and off the field, an infamous womanizer. He was married and divorced 4 times, and he was a regular name in the Hollywood gossip columns. He didn't leave anything out, did he?
No, he was, I've written a book, which is a sports book, but it's the only sports book you'll ever read in which Greta Garbo, Judy Garland, Mr. Ed the Talking Horse, Spencer Tracy and Danny Kaye are all in the index.
One thing I did not know is he's credited with coining the phrase "nice guys finish last." I did not know he was the one that did that.
Yeah, no, that was his, and it was sort of he was managing the Dodgers at the time in Brooklyn, and he was talking to one of the reporters for the Royal Telegram and Sun. And he said to the reporter, "Hey, see those guys over there? They're nice guys." He's going on and on. At the end of it, he said, "Nice, those are nice guys. Finish last." And so it was a long, rambling sort of thing that he said, but the writer compressed it. Everybody compressed it into "nice guys finish last." And, of course, at first he denied it, and then when he realized he was about to get into Bartlett's famous quotations that he acknowledged that he had said it. So he was very clever. He didn't have much education. He didn't even make it to high school. But he had this amazing ability and timing for comedy and for one-liners. So when he shows up in Brooklyn, somebody looks at him and they say to Leo, ask him if he's Jewish. And Leo says, no, but Durocher rhymes with kosher. And he always had a line. He always had something to come back with, which got him in the papers. You know, he was... Somebody asked him about fate. He said, "Fate is a rat." You know, I mean, it sounds like an existentialist, you know, when he does that. But he was clever, and he was cantankerous. He got into battles. I mean, some of his fights were with people like Zsa Zsa Gabor. They get into this huge, huge legal fight, and his fight with Zsa Zsa Gabor is played out not in the courts, but on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Amazing. He also had at least six nicknames in the early part of his career. What were they?
Oh, gee, Leo the Lip, Lippy Leo. You probably remember it, I don't know, but they went on and on and on. Frenchie, he was called Frenchie. He was called different things, but it was. He attracted that kind of nickname, and he also, the papers loved him. I mean, he fought with reporters. A lot of the reporters hated him, but he knew he was great copy. He was the kind of guy that would, you know, in today's era, he would be on the TV every night with his antics. But he was an extraordinary man.
You mentioned about Jackie Robinson. He was the manager for Jackie when he came up. We hear an awful lot about him coming into the major leagues, but we don't hear much about that relationship with Jackie and also Leo. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, it's interesting. Take us a second, but it's worth retelling. When Leo was a kid, a young man, very, very young, in his early 20s, he went to work for a motorcycle battery factory in Springfield, Massachusetts. And they literally made batteries for Indian motorcycles, which were a famous brand of motorcycles back then. And his great pal there was a black man named David Redd, R-E-D-D. And David Redd, they were good, great friends. And David Redd kept pushing DeRosa to try out for the Hartford Senators, which was a minor league team, but also sort of a farm team for the New York Yankees. The Yankees put some of the players there to watch him, and he's rejected at first. Goes back again. David Redd says, "You got to go. You're a great player. You're going to make it." And so he pushes him onto the team. From then on, DeRosa is colorblind. He in 1939, when he first gets his job with the Dodgers as manager, he said he wanted to bring in people from the Americans from the Negro Leagues and dark-skinned people from the Caribbean, who were then banned from baseball. And he said, "I want to bring him in." And so he, right from the outset, he really wanted to integrate baseball. He was a force there. And he and Robinson, he really helped Robinson come up in that 1947 season. He really helped him. And then, of course, he got banned at the very moment that Robinson came up for a lot of other problems he got into. And then later the two of them sort of parted ways. They had a bad relationship, but it had nothing to do with race. It had more to do with personal style. I mean, Robinson was a guy who sort of went home at night and mowed the lawn and took care of his kids and saw his wife, whereas DeRosa was a guy who, you know, was running around Broadway and womanizing and hanging out in the nightclubs. And at one point, Jackie called Leo DeRosa a cologne-soaked bully. So it was an interesting relationship. But over time, he also was, you know, the other moment it was great was when he gets to the Giants and he brings up some of the greatest African-American ball players who ever played, starting with Henry Thompson, Monty Irvin, and, of course, Willie Mays, who he really, really does help.
How did the other players in baseball feel about him, especially his teammates?
I was divided. I mean, some of them really hated him. He came into baseball often when the Yankees really disliked him. In fact, when he comes to the Yankees, that's his first big team, and he's with the Murderers Row Yankees. But he comes up, he's got a chip on his shoulder. You know, he shows up as a rookie. He wears spats and carries a cane. He looks like Maurice Chevalier. And these guys can't get over him. I mean, he immediately takes an offensive stance towards Babe Ruth, calls him dummy. Ruth is convinced after a while that DeRosa has stolen his watch. The player, that they don't like him, and he's arrogant. He hangs around with gamblers. He runs up huge debts as a Yankee, and they finally get rid of him. The players, the mainstream players, just didn't like him. So he has this ability to alienate people. Then he ends up a couple years. He goes to the Reds, the Cincinnati Reds, as a player. Then he ends up with the St. Louis Cardinals, which are the famous Gas House Gang guys, and there he fits in perfectly because he's arrogant. He's He loves to cheat. He loves to get his own pants dirty. He loves to, you know, just mix it up. And the rest of his life, he'll brag that when he was with the Cardinals, he used to take the baseball, and he had a belt buckle with a razor edge on it, and he gouged the ball and then hand it to Dizzy Dean or whoever was pitching. And, of course, they could get this one pitch, this dipsy-doodle pitch, because the ball was so traumatized that it would go all over the place.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you how baseball tolerated him, meaning the commissioner's office and the formal baseball office.
He had problems. Happy Chandler, who was the manager who came in after Landis, Commissioner Landis, but who was right there right after the war, didn't like DeRocher and actually ended up banning him from baseball. It was a combination of factors. He was associating with gamblers and truly true gamblers. They weren't gangsters in the sense of Murder Incorporated, but they were guys who, you know, bootleggers and bookmakers, and he was a Roman Catholic who was now on his with Lorraine Day, the famous movie star, who was living with in 1947. She was the really beautiful movie star of her time, and the Catholic Church didn't like the fact that he was having an influence on children, the local Catholic Church in Brooklyn. You know, DeRocher was a Catholic himself, and he was on his third marriage, and he just got a lot. Eventually, there was just huge pressure, a lot of it from the Supreme Court justice, to get him banned, and they banned him for a year. So he didn't get along with most of the commissioners, and he was always fighting with them, and. But it was that part of what made his character. I mean, back in the day, you pick up any newspaper in America, and if they'd been playing the night before, they're likely to pick a picture of DeRocher, who was short in the face, screaming in the face of an umpire. He was always challenging calls, always challenging the umpires.
We only have a little bit less than 2 minutes, and just to set the record for people, he had managed teams. He played, but he had managed teams for a total of 24 seasons, won 3 pennants, a World Series, and only 5 managers in Major League history have won more games than Leo DeRocher. And really, Paul, you say something that I thought was insightful. Baseball was more than a game to DeRocher. It was theater, and I think that summed him up very well.
Absolutely. He just loved the show business, the Sinatras, and you know, all the stars he hung out with. And he'd go on YouTube some night and look him up, and you'll find him, you know, in the Munsters, the Beverly Hillbillies, Mr. Ed. He's on all the sitcoms. He loves the comic life. So that made him a real 20th century celebrity.
And he couldn't play today other than just the rules in baseball and the fact that it's big business. I just don't think he would fit in with the game. Do you agree?
I agree, and even they had actually changed rules for him. He was so, you know, that rule that you can't argue balls and strikes, that was brought in because DeRocher was arguing every night. He was out there screaming about a ball that he thought was a strike or vice versa, so he would have been, I think, squashed down in this world today.
In about 50 seconds, what do you want people to take away from your book?
Well, I think the book's really funny. I think it's got a lot of crazy, wonderful stuff in it. So it's really an entertainment. And if you love baseball or you love sort of this 20th century as a time of great celebrity and interest, and you know, when people like Sinatra and you know were the major celebrities, I think it's just a fun read. I wrote it not to be scholarly or to be terribly serious, but to just tell a story about a fascinating, complicated character, and I want the readers to sort of figure him out, because I never figured him out.
Paul, I want to thank you very much, first of all, for writing this book, and I urge baseball fans, sports fans in general, if you're looking for a great read about some of the history, very interesting history about baseball and people in baseball at that particular time, I recommend this book, where we're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline Book Corner. It's called Leo DeRocher, Baseball's Prodigal Son. Thank you very much, Paul. You're welcome here anytime. Take care, my friend.
Oh, thank you a million times. Thank you. Good night.
Paul Dixon also wrote the book Bill Veeck, Baseball's Greatest Maverick. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.
This is a health warning from Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and we'll deliver it for free. Just call 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this hour. As I said, it was a very interesting book that's gotten a lot of reaction. It's called Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. Check it out. The author, Marcus Thompson, with us. And then Paul Dixon was with us. Paul is the author of more than 40 sports books, including Bill Veeck, Baseball's Greatest Maverick. And his latest book is called Leo Durocher, Baseball's Prodigal Son. Remember, you can hear Sports Byline USA on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, or WebOS phones on demand and on the go. So download it for free at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
If you missed something from today's show, you can find it now on iHeartRadio Talk. That's iHeartRadio.com/talk. A special news and update station you control. Follow us on iHeartRadio Talk and stay in touch 24/7.